coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Today on the show, we have Sheriff Richard Mack, his Home Defense Show Encore performance. We'll be speaking with the sheriff in segments 2 and 3, all about the March for Our Lives demonstration, and also about the history of the county sheriff in America and why they're so important. And then we'll be talking about the Second Amendment and its true original purpose. So that's going to be really, really good. And then, of course, in segment 4, I'll tell you what I really think. But first, spring is in the air, folks. Oh, up here in Michigan, in the great wild white north, we have temperatures going all the way up to like 50 degrees here. It's incredible. It's awesome. And I'm loving it. And it's putting me in a great mood. I've already started my garden plants. I've got tomatoes, jalapenos, cayenne peppers, squash, cauliflower, and broccoli. I've got all those plants started. They're sitting on top of my wood stove where they can get some sun. And I even got some plants popping up about a half an inch now. So it's good to see green things sprouting again. And hope springs eternal. With spring comes hope, comes new life. So I feel very good about that. Now, speaking of feeling good, I'm thinking about buying a night vision scope. And you folks can write and tell me what you think about that. I think I ought to do it. My wife, on the other hand, she doesn't see the value in spending hundreds of dollars on a night vision scope that I won't use very often. It's a mystery to me. You know, why is she thinking this way? I don't understand it. I mean, I wish I could spend $4,000 on a night vision scope. That way I could get Gen 3 or Generation 4. Boy, and I could really light up the world with that. But, you know, the financial status as it is, I can only afford about $500 for this night vision. And I'm looking on opticsplanet.com. I'm looking at the Armasite WWZ 4 Power Generation 1 Plus Night Vision Rifle Scope. And it's got free shipping and handling. It's under $400. And I keep thinking, wow, wouldn't this be fantastic? Because right now, all of the varmints are coming out of hibernation. Do you remember a year ago, I was on the show and I was telling you about my day-to-day battle to save my chicken flock? I lost almost all my chickens last year to possums, raccoons, skunk, fox, owl, hawks, dogs. It was like, you know, World War III declared on my chicken coop. And I didn't have night vision. And it greatly, greatly hampered my ability to protect my flock. My wife doesn't understand that. That just blows me away. All I want is $400 for a night vision scope. Now, granted, this is Generation 1, you know, which means it's going to be grainy. It's only going to be good out to a certain distance, but this is my first night vision scope. So I'm thinking I probably don't want to spend $3,000 for two reasons. One, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I want to find out what Generation 1 does for me. And who knows, maybe Generation 1 will be all I need to take that, you know, 30, 40, 50 yard shot on a raccoon who is sneaking up on my chicken herd. And two, if I were to spend $3,000 on night vision, I think my wife would notice. And she would probably beat me to death in my sleep with the night vision scope, which is never good for anyone. But check out the features on this. Gen 1 Plus. I don't even know what that means. But It's got me excited. 4-power magnification, shock-protected optics, illuminated red cross reticle, simple, easy-to-operate controls and adjustments. Hey, I need simple. Water-resistant design, ability to mount to standard Weaver rails, variable reticle brightness, detachable long-range infrared illuminator. That's nice. Power indicator uses CR123 lithium 3-volt batteries. Now, that's I don't like that it has CR123 lithium batteries. I mean, those are nice batteries, but they tend to die out quickly, and it's harder. They're not rechargeable. So if I had, like, something with AA batteries that are rechargeable, I would probably lean towards that. But I haven't found anything like that yet for this price of this quality. If any of you know of anything out there or have experience with night vision, please, by all means, send me an email at skipcoriel@hotmail.com, skipcoriel@hotmail.com, and educate me, because I am eager to learn about night vision before I spend all this money. Okay, now let's delve into the news. Boy, obviously the big thing in the news right now is gun control. Oh my. Boy, does the left want our guns? They are salivating. They're foaming at the mouth because they want to take away our guns, and they think now is the time. If they can't do it now, they'll never be able to do it, because all these kids are dying, and boy, this is their golden opportunity. They have mobilized the teen force of America against the Second Amendment. And who was it? Former Justice Stevens, who was liberal anyways, has come out with an op-ed piece saying that the Second Amendment should be repealed and this is the time to do it. Well, I don't see that happening. Of course, if we roll over, anything can happen. But if we fight, no, I don't see that happening. Let's go to bearingarms.com right now and let's check out some news. Ah, here we go. Bearingarms.com. Marchers, our right to feel safe trumps your rights. Really? How do you figure? Your right to feel safe? You know, folks, here's the question. If you feel safe, does that make you safe? How does feeling safe make you safer? It's an illusion, isn't it? The only way it's not an illusion is if you have a gun strapped on your side and you have the training and the warrior mindset to use it. Now, something like that, yeah. You feel safe because you are safe. But these protesters, I don't see any of them with guns. So the only way they can feel safe is to disarm every person, every citizen on the planet, and then maybe they'll feel safe. Ah, but wait, they won't feel safe, because then we'll have knives, and then they'll have to take away all the knives. Ah, but then we have baseball bats. Well, cancel the World Series, because now we're going to take away baseball bats. It's a slippery slope that never, ever ends. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And of course, Ben Franklin was right. However, Saturday saw hundreds of thousands of kids, the estimates range from 800,000 reported by the OSA Reliable Brady campaign to just over 200,000 by CBS News. They took to the streets of our nation's capital to ask for safety by giving up liberty. Wow. It seems that quote isn't taught much in school. It wasn't just these three. From what I saw and heard at the rally, dying in school was a remarkably ubiquitous fear among young people. I spotted a little girl perched on her father's shoulders, waving a sign bearing the text, "Am I next?" Marissa, a teenage girl from Michigan, told me she felt unsafe in school and thought more security would help. Teenager after teenager testified that their fears of death were all-consuming, ever-present, and more justified than ever before. Missing from these conversations was any awareness of a very basic, indisputable fact. Gun violence has declined precipitously over the past 25 years, and most Americans are much safer today than they were a generation ago. Schools are no exception. They are increasingly free of mass shootings, according to researchers James Allen Fox and Emma Friedel. As New York Magazine's Eric Levitz puts it, American children do not risk their lives when they show up to school each morning, or at least not nearly as much as they do whenever they ride in a car, swim in a pool, or put food in their mouths. An American's lifetime odds of dying in a mass shooting committed in any location is 1 in 11,125. Of course, dying in a car accident, their chances are 1 in 491. Chance of drowning is 1 in 1,133. Chance of choking on food is 1 in 3,461. Wow, when you look at those stats, boy, if you want to feel safer, don't ride in a car. Don't go swimming. Don't eat. Chew your food carefully. Wow. The media has done all it can to spin them up into believing that they could all die at any time. They're not, but try convincing some of them of that fact. You know, that is a really good point, folks, because, you know, school shootings, they are rare. They're extremely rare. I mean, how many thousands or tens of thousands of schools do we have? Monday through Friday, people go to school there. Kids go to school. And because of the 24-hour news cycle, if there's a mass shooting, any type of incident with a gun in a school, it gets front page news, because violence leads, blood leads, and the media has an agenda. The agenda is take away the guns, repeal the Second Amendment. And if they have to scare all these kids to death, they'll do it. They'll do whatever they have to do to get their agenda through, which is to take away all guns from American citizens. We're going to be talking about that in segments 2 and 3 with Sheriff Richard Mack. We're going to get his opinion on that. You know, he is, remember last week we had Peter Heck, who is a school teacher in Indiana, a public school teacher. And Sheriff Richard Mack, he is also a school teacher, but in Arizona. He's got his ideas on that, and we're going to find out what those ideas are when we come back. Okay, that's our intro for today. Don't forget, send me an email, skipcoriel@hotmail.com. Tell me, yes or no, should I buy that night vision scope for my AR-15? Because I got to take out these raccoons and possums. Consider it a preemptive strike. I must defend the flock. Okay, folks, when we come back, we'll have Sheriff Richard Mack from the Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officers Association, and we'll be talking about all kinds of good stuff. You're going to love it. But in the next 2 minutes, I want you to head on out to CSPOA.org and check out Sheriff Mack's organization. And then also check out our sponsors, ElitePhirearms.us and FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit ElitePhirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking for the next two segments with Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Well, Skip, thanks. It's always good to be on with you. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Yeah, we had a very good reception last time. People loved what you had to say, so I thought I'd have you on again. Specifically, I got a email from you about this whole David Hogg March for Our Lives debacle. But before we get into that, will you remind the people who is Sheriff Richard Mack?
Well, I'm the son of Wayne and Ruth Mack, and my dad was an FBI agent, and I grew up in Southeast Arizona, Safford High School, went to college at Eastern Arizona College, played football and baseball there, went on to Brigham Young University, graduated there, tried to get in the FBI myself. It never worked out, so I hired on full-time with the Provo Police Department, where I had been working part-time while I was working my way through college. I know that's a very unusual thing there. I actually was not in debt when I got out of college. I had a few scholarships here and there, and I worked my way through college. I worked two part-time jobs and loved it, but one of them was a part-time job with Provo Police. I hired on full-time with them later, and I did everything in law enforcement imaginable. And then in 1988, I moved home to Arizona, where I was from, and I ran for sheriff. And both my wife and I are from the Gila Valley, which is Southeast Arizona. And I had been studying the Constitution a lot while I was a cop, and decided that the only way that we could really keep our oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution was by learning what it is and actually reading the document. Mm-hmm. And so I became a very strong constitutional conservative. And that's where I am now. I actually teach that in high school at a charter school in Arizona. And I became, in 1994, I became the first sheriff to file a lawsuit against the Clinton administration to stop the gun control associated with the Brady Bill. A couple other sheriffs joined the lawsuit, and Sheriff Prince from Montana and I ended up at the U.S. Supreme Court on that case, where the Supreme Court decided in June of 1997, that we were correct. Federal government was wrong. Clinton administration lost this case against two small town sheriffs. We won. We stopped gun control there probably more than any other senator or congressman ever has. And ever since then, I've been on the lecture circuit and written about seven books, two specifically about the Second Amendment. And those are all available at my website, cspoa.org, because that's a national organization I formed about 9 years ago. And it's called Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, cspoa.org. It's all available there. In fact, my book that sold the most was The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. So if you want to stop gun control, abuse going on in our country, have your sheriff standing and defending you against tyranny, and I think that's the best way to take back freedom in America, one county, one sheriff at a time.
Well, Sheriff, I agree with you. I know obviously you're still alive, but what about the sheriff from Montana? You both sued the Clintons, and you're both still alive?
Yeah. We sued the Clintons and lived to tell about it. That's
All right.
One of my favorite lines. So, yes, Jay Prince, he's still alive. Of the seven sheriffs that actually did this lawsuit, six of them joined me in the lawsuit. I was the first one to file, and then later some of them joined on. I believe Sheriff J.R. Coog from Texas, from Valverde County, was the only one who's passed away.
All right. Okay, well, before we launch into this March for Our Lives thing, tell people about the office of sheriff. Why is the office of sheriff so important?
He's the only elected law enforcement officer in just about in the entire country. The attorney general is appointed. He's not elected. There's still a little bit of gray area between some of the attorney generals of the states, but I don't even think those guys are really law enforcement officers. They're not in charge of traffic enforcement in the state, but sheriffs are. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's highway patrols. But you need to go through the history of the office of sheriff before you're really going to see the significance of the sheriff. He was always considered the people's protector and the cop of the people. And he only has one boss. And this is really significant. He only has one supervisor. He only has one employer. There's only one people or one person, one group of people that can tell him what to do, and that's the voters, the citizens. He answers only to them. And that's really significant because they are the power source in America. We, the people, bestow all power. We say what happens. We are the ones that appoint our government officials, and therein lies all the power. Well, the only law enforcement officer in the county and in the state who directly reports to the power source is the sheriff. And he has promised them that he would protect their God-given rights as detailed within the Constitution. And if they don't do it, the people review his job every 4 years, and they get rid of him if he's not doing his job.
Well, Sheriff Mack, what happens when, say, the U.S. Attorney General calls you up and said, hey, I want you to do such and such, and if you don't, we're going to withhold funding or we're going to lean on you in some other way. What can the sheriff do about that?
Well, the first thing I say is never take federal funding so they won't be able to do that. And I never did.
Yeah.
No, see, that's the thing they want to do. They first bribe you with this federal grant, and then if you don't do it, you're told, they threaten to take it away from you. Mm-hmm. And so any sheriff that is using federal funds to supplement or, in fact, even make it a huge part of his budget, that's too foolish for me. I'm sorry, that's just total ignorance. Mm-hmm. You should not be doing that. And secondly, the Attorney General cannot tell me what to do, and my Supreme Court decision says the federal government cannot tell us what to do. We are not subject to federal direction. And so if there's a mutual concern that the federal government wants to talk to me about and wants me to help them with, I might consider it. But if you want to sit down and talk about it, I will. But like the Brady Bill, if you want to just tell me I have to do it or threaten to arrest me, which the Brady Bill did, it threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply with the Brady Bill. Mm-hmm. That's just utter nonsense. And so I told the BATF when they came and gave us those marching orders from the Clinton administration, I just told you that's a joke. You guys can't tell me what to do. And they said, yeah, Congress passed a law and the president signed it. I said, I don't care if you pass 500 laws. I don't work for you. The people of my county elected me. They are the only ones who can fire me. And so get lost, you know. And that's the autonomy and the sovereignty that you want your sheriff to have.
I've heard cases, I think it's over in the Northeast, where some sheriffs have been abolished, the office in general. Have you heard about
Connecticut.
That?
Connecticut, about 16 years ago, voted the office out of existence of the entire state. So the people in Connecticut no longer elect any type of law enforcement officer in their counties or in their state. It's all the police state. Oh, I mean the state police.
Yeah. Well, the state police in I think all states that I know of, they answer directly to the governor. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, most highway patrols began in that manner. They were security force for the governor, and they expanded from there. And boy, have they expanded! And of course, now they're running radar and writing radar tickets, thousands and thousands every day along our freeways. Mm-hmm. And I have assailed that practice quite a bit too. I honestly believe that most of the tickets in this country violate the Eighth Amendment, where it says no excessive fines or bail.
Okay. Who was it? I think it was Sheriff Darleaf told me that the state police, they're not mandated in any state constitution that he knows of. It was just like a governor just kind of made it up and it just kind of grew and mutated from there. What about sheriff? Is the office of sheriff, is that mandated in state constitutions? Is that where the power comes from?
No. As a matter of fact, Some state constitutions mention the sheriff, mm-hmm. but the first state to join the union, Delaware, it actually says the sheriff is the conservator of the peace in each county.
Okay.
So that one's really the strongest that you'll have. Also, Thomas Jefferson said that the sheriff is the top executive of the county. And in a way, you can say that because the executive is someone who is executor, is the executor of the law. And so I believe that Jefferson called it correctly. And the office of sheriff way precedes the formation of our country. So some of them just kind of took it for granted there was that the sheriff would be the top law enforcement officer in the country and in the states or the original colonies, the original 13. And in fact, there were actually three of the signers of the Declaration of Independence that were former sheriffs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, Well, before we got about 1 minute left in this segment. Before we leave this segment, talk about CSPOA a little bit. That organization, what sets that organization apart from all the other law enforcement organizations?
Well, we actually profess something extremely different. We actually want every sheriff in this country to enforce the Constitution in his county, especially the Bill of Rights. And so we have pointed out to the law enforcement community, there's a couple of things we've been doing that aren't exactly constitutional. One is DUI checkpoints. Do we want DUIs off the road? Of course. Do we want DUIs arrested? Yes. But do we want administrative checkpoints and roadblocks where all citizens are forced into a kind of a corral and they are to give their papers before going down the road? Mm-hmm. That just strikes to me, first of all, it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. There's no probable cause for those stops. They're all fishing expeditions. Everybody has to pull over, and the cops get to see if you've been drinking. And in the meantime, they're allowed to ask for your driver's license, registration, insurance information. And if you don't have those in order, you're going to be cited. Well, there's no probable cause for the stop. Some of these leaders in law enforcement will say, well, we get to do that because the Supreme Court said we can. Well, they don't run your office. You should do it, and you should do it according to the Constitution. Secondly, we do not agree with asset forfeiture the way it's presently constituted. There's too many times where they're just taking people's cash, and then you have to come back and prove how you got it. And too many times, 85% of those, they are confiscated and turned over to supplement and augment law enforcement departmental budgets. And that's just a conflict of interest. We should not be reaping the benefits of such activity. Enforce the law, and you shouldn't be making money because you enforce the law.
Yeah.
So we have a real problem with those two.
Well, yeah, it's like encouraging you, ahead and do that. So definitely a conflict of interest there. Well, Sheriff, that's all interesting stuff. I'm sure my listeners like that. Let's go ahead. Let's take a two-minute break. While we are away, check out our sponsors. Go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and then go to elitefirearms.us and check them out. See what they can do for you. We will be back in 2 minutes to speak more with Sheriff Richard Mack. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coryell on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coryell, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona, a school teacher, a former county sheriff, and the creator of the Constitutional Peace Officer. Let me do it myself. I can do this, okay. Sheriff. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association of America. Is that right?
No, just association.
Okay. Just, hey, but I was close.
COA.
You got to admit,
yeah, you were real close, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, CSPOA, yeah. No, we might want to add another A there and just go Constitutional Service Association of America, but it's already too long, so don't make it any bigger.
All right, good enough. Yeah. All right. Well, Sheriff, you gave us a good history, good background on the county sheriff last segment. This segment, I want to talk about the March for Our Lives, David Hogg. They had this big march in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., and I guess in according to their website, 834 locations all over the world. And, you know, it's hard to get good information depending on who you ask or where you go on the internet.
Right.
Some people say there were 200,000 people there. Others say there were 800,000. So I really don't know. What information do you have on this whole March for Our Lives movement?
Well, it depends on the media that you're talking to. As to how many people were really involved. But I was really disappointed in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really saddened by the response from the students, probably more than anybody, because I teach Constitution government, and I've taught American history, and I teach criminal justice. It really bothers me that these students from Parkland and from across the country really have the mistaken notion that gun control can just be made without any respect of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have in two or three of my books that gun control in the United States of America is against the law. And that is what the intent of the Founding Fathers was. And they meant it just exactly as it says. A well-regulated militia, and that's talking about we the people. Militia is defined as the people, and you can see that on most any dictionary. It says that. We the people are the militia, and one of the founding father, George Mason, actually said that. And the militia consists of the people themselves. And so if gun control was the intent of the founders, to make sure it was prevented in America, then obviously the high school students in America don't know that or don't care about it. And if we don't care about the rule of law, and if we don't care about the supreme law of the land, what laws are we going to care about?
Mm-hmm.
It also bothers me that they haven't been taught the history of gun control and how dangerous it is, how racist it is, and how it has been used by so many ruthless dictators throughout the 20th century, and even before. King George III did it. King Longshanks did it, if you watch the movie Braveheart. Even before guns were allowed, even before guns existed, the Scottish were not allowed to have knives and swords and bows and arrows and spears. And so arms control has always been around, especially against conquered nations, conquered peoples, subjects, and slaves. And so that none of our students in those marches seem to be concerned about history, about Lenin, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Castro, and many others throughout the world who have used gun control as a means of control against peasants and the people, and then to foment genocides against people who were lured into that position by extremely ruthless and cunning propaganda. And so that all of that seems to be ignored, just really, and it baffles me that students don't pay any attention to that. And then finally, I think the one other thing is that these students have bought into the propaganda that gun control will make them safer. Mm-hmm. I just find that so astonishing. Every promise, I mean, I've said this before, when the Brady Bill came out, they promised that it would make our streets safe. In fact, you know what Clinton said about the Brady Bill? The Brady Bill will make our streets so safe that even our nation's police officers won't need to carry guns anymore.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that Clinton-esque? Have you ever heard anything more Clinton-esque?
It didn't quite work out that way, did it?
No, it didn't. And none of the, I mean, Skip, you know we have over, what, 20,000 gun control laws in America?
Yep.
The promise every time was to keep us safer. Mm-hmm. None of them have. And so why aren't these children talking about all the lies from the liberals who have passed all these gun control laws that never kept us safer? Why don't they say, you lied? Mm-hmm. Gun control has failed. Yeah. And so maybe the alternative is to arm our schools and arm people who are closer to the schools, so that the equation that we have seen historically through these shootings is that almost 99% of the time, the person who is the thug coward who is committing these heinous acts and these heinous murders, what do? They stop shooting as soon as somebody gets there with a gun.
Yeah.
They either kill themselves or they give up or they run away. But they don't continue the carnage as soon as somebody shows up with a gun. So isn't it logical, isn't it almost mathematical and scientific to say we need to have a gun there sooner and have a gun there closer? Now, I don't want to be armed. I'm a school teacher. I don't want to be armed. But I sure want one close by to where we can strategically place guns in schools, train officers such as myself. I worked 20 years in law enforcement. I know how to work a gun. I know how to defend myself and others, and that I'm not capable or allowed by law to be able to defend the students in my class and in this school. Skip, I'm telling you, I can't live with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I could live with it if it ever happened, that I was not allowed to defend these students and other teachers and even some of the administrators who don't want to do it. I would still feel horrible if I wasn't able to defend them. And we also have a special ops, former special ops teacher here, and he wants to do it. And there's others here who know a lot about shooting that could be so easily trained. You know, Skip, there's nothing magical about a police academy that makes it so that only the police can do such a thing. Anybody can go through that training. Cops are citizens too, and they were just people, and they are just people, and they've had the training. Anybody can have the training. If one of the teachers doesn't want to be trained, fine, don't do it. But let's get the ones who want to be trained and have that ready. There's no way that there's going to be a peace officer in every school in this country. And so that's going to be pretty costly. You could train the special ops teacher and me so easily, and it would be so cost effective. In fact, I can't see how it would cost anything. And in fact, a lot of local NRA groups are offering the training for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go get trained, and let's even work this out to where the police are always a little bit afraid that when once they got there that they would see me with the gun and they wouldn't know that it was me or if I was a suspect. I think we could work out that training.
Yeah,
you know, to where we could, you know. first of all, I call 911 and tell them what I look like. I have a gun, or say, look, I've got the scene controlled. I'm going to put my gun down now. I'm going to be standing right next to it. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. You know, I was doing some.
It's not.
I was doing some study research on this a couple of weeks ago. And Utah, the state of Utah, they allow their teachers and administrators to be armed. And the stat that I saw says 5% of their teachers are armed and 12% of their administrators were armed. And if you have a concealed carry license in that state, it's, you know, schools are not a pistol-free zone. And I went back all the way into the 19th century, beginning of the 19th century, since they became a state, and I searched on, you know, their school violence, how many people died in mass shooting events. And you know how many I found? Zero. Uh-huh. None have died in Utah, you know, from these active shooters. Yes. It was just incredible. And I thought, well, why don't we follow a model that actually works? And my conclusion was, well, that just
Now, is that just in schools or is it anywhere?
That was in schools. In schools.
Okay, because I remember one, it seemed like there was one in a Salt Lake City mall or Sandy, Utah mall where the guy had started to shoot, and that's when I didn't remember if he actually killed somebody, but there was an off-duty cop in that mall who shot and killed him right away.
Yeah, yeah, this is just for schools, and there have been a couple of, you know, active shooters in schools, but no one has died. I think one time the active shooter died, but... You know,
well, good. That's
okay.
We
that's yeah, a best case scenario. But I'd like to see
that's
something
an amazing,
like that.
That's an amazing statistic.
Yeah, yeah. I can send you the stats on that. What do you think about, okay, Governor Rick Scott down in Florida, they passed a bill that said 18, 19, and 20-year-olds cannot purchase or possess firearms. What happened with that bill? And what do you think of that?
Well, they want to get rid of mean guns, and they only want to be shot and killed by someone 21 and older.
By then, you're a better shot.
they only want to get shot with nice guns, and only by somebody who is of legal drinking age.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're not of drinking age, you can't shoot me.
Yeah,
but if you're 21 or older, you can shoot me, but it has to be with a nice gun. Are we totally insane?
Well, not totally, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like
Rick Scott's certainly working on it.
What we want is a kinder, gentler homicide, I think. But Sheriff Mack, we are about out of time, so why don't you go ahead and tell us. How can people get a hold of you? I know you do speaking events across the country. If people want to get a hold of you, sign you up to come speak, talk about this kind of thing, what do they need to know?
Well, most of our information, I think our office number, our address, email, is all at cspoa.org. And make sure you know what I'm saying. C is in Charlie, S is in Sam, P is in Paul, O is in Ocean, A is in Adam. And so CSPOA.org, go there, give us a call. We can come out and train your sheriff's office in the Constitution, in de-escalation tactics, and in the proper application of the oath of office. We have to get back to the basics, and that's exactly what the CSPOA does with our law enforcement brothers and sisters across this country. We want to train them. All of them, peace officers, police agencies, federal agencies, and sheriff's offices, and the citizens alike. We want all of you trained so you know what to expect from law enforcement, and they know their true job is to secure these rights. Governments are instituted among men. And that's right out of the Declaration of Independence. We need them to know that they are guards of the Republic, guards of the Constitution, and guards of the people.
Awesome. Now, I want you to give me one last chance here. Don't interrupt. It's called the Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association, right?
Correct.
CSPOA.org.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Sheriff Mack, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Anytime. Thanks, Skip.
All right. Okay, folks, go ahead and take that two-minute break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I really think about all of this March for Our Lives stuff. And I won't hold anything back. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're going to love it.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Lead out, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
One suspect was dead and at least one other was on the loose after a Christmas Eve home invasion in New Hanover County, North Carolina. The suspect entered the home around 2:30 a.m. Their movements awoke the homeowner, who retrieved a firearm and engaged the suspects in a gunfight. The homeowner killed a 31-year-old Hakeem Hanafa, causing the remaining two suspects to flee the scene. Hanover County Sheriff's Office spokesman Lieutenant Jerry Brewer described Hanafa as a validated gang member. Hanafa's criminal record indicates a guilty plea to charges of felon in possession of a firearm. He also was alleged to have punched a prison guard on Christmas Eve in 2000 because he was not happy with the amount of food he was given.
Should have gave him some sea rations.
Ooh, I like ham and lima beans, yeah.
Thanks, Colonel. Those of us in the military view combat differently than civilians because that's the way we were trained. Most combat for a soldier is approached from the perspective of a team. The reconnaissance unit goes out in advance and searches for the enemy. Then the officers get together and come up with a plan of attack, which includes such things as how to launch the ground assault and coordination of air and naval gunfire. The entire operation is highly coordinated and relies on teamwork. For the average homeowner, that's usually not true. For the most part, civilian combat is a one-person proposition. It's just you and the bad guys, and you don't know when they're going to attack. It's almost always an ambush. The homeowner is never the aggressor, and he's always responding to a violent action by the home invader. For the average civilian citizen, the criminal will always decide when and where the battle will be fought. This puts civilians at a distinct disadvantage. However, in the case of a home invasion, the civilian has the home turf advantage and can prepare his castle in a way that gives him a fighting chance, just as this homeowner did. Let's face it, taking on three gang members, invading your home, and engaging them in a firefight is not for the faint of heart. First, you need the right tools. You have the choice of shotgun, AR-15 rifle, or a pistol. All three have their strengths and weaknesses, but you get to choose. Second, you need to harden your home against crime.
There is a book by Matt Canovey available on Amazon.com that can tell you how to do that. It's titled Real Secrets of Home and Personal Defense. Check it out. Third, the most important defense you have is courage and a stout heart. Without a warrior mindset and the willingness to put your life on the line to protect the ones you love, all the best fighting tools in the world will not help you. This man had the right knowledge, the right tools, and the heart of a lion. And all of us here at Frontlines of Freedom congratulate him on a job well done.
Indeed.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Love that Sheriff Richard Mack. Wise man, very firm in his convictions, and I think he makes a lot of good points. Wealth of knowledge. Okay, we have reached the point in the show where I tell you what I really think. So, for better or for worse, here we go. I went to a movie this morning with my wife and three little ones, and had a great time. It was a soul-searching time, but it was a great time. The title of the movie was I Can Only Imagine. If you recognize that title, it's probably because you've listened to the song by that same title a time or two. I Can Only Imagine was written by Bart Millard and performed by his band, Mercy Me. That's right, he's a Christian, and the song is Christian. But if you're an atheist, please don't tune out on me, at least not just yet. Because I learned some things about raising kids by watching that movie. The song was inspired by the death of Millard's father and considers what it would be like in heaven and to be standing before God. I Can Only Imagine was released in 2001, and Millard earned the Dove Award Songwriter of the Year. With 2.5 million copies sold, it is the best-selling Christian single of all time, having been certified triple platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. As of 2018, it is the only Christian song to reach that milestone. But here's what I want to focus on. Millard's father was a monster, of his own admission. He beat his son, ridiculed him incessantly, and was able to drive away Millard's mother, and he ended up having to raise Bart as a single parent. This jaded Bart's life. It reminds me of the words of Yoda on his deathbed, as he imparted his final words to Luke Skywalker. Remember, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware. Anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are they. Once you start down the dark side, forever will it dominate your destiny. So you're asking me right about now, what does that have to do with home, family, and personal defense? What does that have to do with the Second Amendment? Well, think about it. This recent March for Our Lives in 835 locations across the planet that just occurred, how did it happen? Sheriff Mack was discouraged and saddened that so many young people could be so willing to give up their freedom for the sake of a little temporary safety. But when I reflect on that and look at our public school system, at the media, at the powers that be, and the failing condition of our family structure here in America, the question should be, why did it take so long to happen? Because once the family was lost, the society was doomed to grudgingly follow. The family has always been the building block of any nation, and once the building blocks become eroded, compromised, and weakened, then the whole society is bound to collapse. It's elementary. Because mothers and fathers are the ones who are divinely tasked with teaching morality to their young, they are the ones who pass on freedom's torch, who teach about basic human rights, about common decency and right and wrong. So, what happens when half the people tasked with that go AWOL? Over half our homes are broken now. Many kids are living in single-parent families. I've been a single parent. I've been non-custodial as well as custodial, and I can tell you that the job is daunting. Is it possible for one loving, wise parent to raise good kids? Yes, I've seen it happen. But is it easy? No. Because one person is now doing the job of two. So I don't really blame David Hogg and his army of teen followers for lashing out against the Second Amendment. I don't blame them for not knowing what real freedom is, or for that matter, for not seeing the value in liberty. Why? Because they don't know any better. No one taught them right from wrong. Their parents didn't teach them because their parents before them didn't teach them, and et cetera, and et cetera, and so on and so forth on down the line. They are an ignorant generation because they were taught to be so. But are they really ignorant? Ask any teenager and they'll tell you that they know everything. All of us went through that phase of our life, but here's the problem. It's not that David Hogg is ignorant. It's that he knows so many things that just aren't true. He sincerely believes that a world without guns will be safe. I remember my teens and early 20s, and I shudder at the recollection. I was an idealist, and that's not a bad thing, because all of us Second Amendment activists were also idealists. We believe in the right to keep and bear arms, even to the point of death. And I believe David Hogg is sincere as well. But he's not thinking clearly. Why? I'll give you two reasons. One, his brain is not yet fully developed. Young people feel things very strongly because they think with the portion of their brain dedicated to emotion, the amygdala, a roughly almond-shaped mass of gray matter inside each cerebral hemisphere involved with the experiencing of emotions. Later on, at about age 25 or so, he will start to think with the rational part of his brain called the frontal lobe. The function of the frontal lobe involves the ability to project future consequences resulting from current actions, the choice between good and bad actions, and the override and suppression of socially unacceptable responses, and the determination of similarities and differences between things or events. He doesn't know that yet. And two, he was taught morality right and wrong by the government. Now, isn't that a scary proposition? Politicians passing laws that dictate what our children learn and think and feel and believe. David Hogg, apart from divine intervention, never really had much of a chance at learning the truth. We can't get mad at David Hogg and his army simply because he's a programmed robot just doing what he was taught and doing it very well. And here's the part about family defense. How do you protect your kids from growing up to march in one of David Hogg's anti-gun rallies? Number one, stay home. The government is a usurper of all things left unattended. And if you're not teaching your kids right from wrong, then guess who's going to do it for you? The politicians. Number two, be wary of the public school system. Don't get so wrapped up in your own life that you forget about your kids and use the public schools as childcare. Sit down every night with your kids and help them with their homework. Read their textbooks. Dispute lies and errors in human nature. You must be the warrior for your kids, the protector and defender of all things good and pure. I guess that's why we homeschool our kids. I just don't trust my government to do it for me. Our children are the future, and we've handed them over to a government that cares little for human rights and individual freedom. And three, there is a basis for morality, an absolute, a truth with a capital T, that can guide you in raising kids who value life and who will respect others. I don't even have to say the name of the book, because you all know what I'm talking about. You should read it, and then pass it on to the ones you love. Children are taught how to be human not by the government, but by their parents. That's the way it's been for century upon century. And when parents forsake that duty, then it's Katie bar the door, because all hell is about to break loose. My own father was similar to Bart Millard's. He wasn't a monster, but he did teach me some despicable things, as well as a few good things. But no matter what you do as a parent, you will impact, mold, and form the future of your kids. Even if you choose to run away and never see them, your absence will speak volumes and can warp them for life. If you really want to change society, if you want to advance freedom, if you want to make the world a better place to live, then the answer is simple. First, you must make your family a better place to live. Then your kids will go out into the world armed with knowledge, power, and a firm resolve. And they will be the ones who take our country back. It won't be our generation. We've already screwed it up. And that's what I really think. Okay, folks. Hey, we are about out of time for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We've got a week. During that week, head on out to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. And there I can preach at you a little bit more. Next week, we are going to be speaking with Joel Fulton, the owner of Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel is going to tell us all about what it's like to run a gun store and an indoor gun range. Specifically, he's going to be telling us about experience with the ATF. What does he have to do? What is mandated of him? What kind of paperwork does he have to follow? because the far left is telling you that anybody can buy a gun. They don't have to pass a background check. They don't have to fill out any paperwork, nothing. Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms, he's going to tell us the truth. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember God, family, country in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!